How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Hey, everybody. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy there, Dr. Jim, recording live from Transform 2024 at the Wynn Resorts in Las Vegas. And we're going to continue the trend of trying to bust some myths that exist in the leadership and HR space. And to help us do that, we have Mike Staffy, CEO of Aaron, joining us to help bust up some myths. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
The first order of business is to get the viewers up to speed on a little bit about your story and also the story of Aaron.
So we help big businesses turn their employees into recruiters. It's that simple. Very straightforward. I've been doing this for about 5-6 years now, and this is the longest job I've ever had. But I'll tell you, I love HR tech. I love this space. Talking to people like you, it's way different than anything else I've ever done. And it's been a wild ride.
So you're a multiple-time startup guy.
Yeah.
What is it about the startup life that keeps you coming back?
Somebody asked me this earlier. You have a little bit of OCD? So everybody has a little bit of OCD. It's like when you clean a room and it's like spotless and you just got to keep looking at it. And you're like, it feels good. Like I've achieved the thing that makes me feel happy. I look at startups like that, like the outcomes of what you do, you can see that impact, whether it's like, oh, you like grew the business, or you like, you just even made a cool marketing poster, something like that. You stare at it and you just soak it in. And you're like, this is why I'm doing it. Like it manifests as like OCD, just smoothing over. It's really cool.
It sounds like you're chasing endorphins, because what you're talking, the way that I hear what you're saying is that you want to see that immediate impact, because it gives you that rush and you can see how your work is driving the business.
Exactly right. Like it's a high, right? You're chasing the high.
That's great perspective. I guess one of the things that I'm curious about is Aaron is an app that's in the employer referral space. Why did you pick that spot within the entire employee life cycle to choose as the one that you're going to solve?
I lived my childhood saying, I'm going to make referrals great for everyone. That's a lifelong dream. Honestly, we're looking for areas of improvement. Like, and recruitment just seemed, on the surface, like, why are people outsourcing anything for recruitment? And there's a reason for that, but could you supplement that another way? Ultimately, we ended up on referrals and doubling down on that and achieving what ultimately became a workflow tool. Like, we're an enterprise workflow tool. All that means is they were doing this on spreadsheets and stuff before, and now we automate that to scale it. So it's not like a glamorous story, but the best tech startups ever are basically taking a manual, complicated process and making it better. Like the squiggly lines become a straight line.
I think that's good perspective. And I think the thing that I draw from what you just said is that if you're kicking around the idea of starting a company, whatever business process that you're looking at, identify the thing that no one wants to solve or no one is really solving. So you have two different strategies. You can try to be the all things to all people variety of a solution, or you can look for that one small thing that nobody is really focusing on and be really excellent at that. And then that gives you a different pathway to success.
You're completely right. And the more narrow it is, but like there are people that laughed at me when they're like, oh, you're a referral product. You're like a Google form. Quite literally laughed at me. But when you get that niche and that narrow, that's when you actually can start breaking into businesses that have no business talking to startup, because they're like, we have this very specific problem and you have a very specific solution. We'll give you the time of day and we'll talk to you. It can be sometimes not all solutions are businesses. So sometimes you got to find your solution and then build that into a business. Like the business came later, which is an interesting experience. But yeah, it's a great way don't try to be everything. Try to be one thing really well and get it done.
That's great context. And I appreciate you sharing that. So let's get to what we want to talk about. And that's busting up some myths. You're a startup guy. So when you think about HR leadership myths that you quote unquote grew up with, what's the one that annoys you and you wish would just die?
It's always been an attitude of like, if you hire good people, like you'll get there, right? It's actually not true. It was in startups, right? And what I mean by that is that it's not just a person that's good and knows their field. They also need to apply in a high growth startup environment that can be intense. Like, it's not for everybody. Time and time again, we've hired amazing people that have just completely missed. So we've really adopted a hire slow, fire fast mentality. And that sounds harsh, but what that really means is like making sure that it's not just a person that understands this, their field. It's not just a good professional, but it's also somebody that can apply that in a super intense environment of the startup world and understand that every deal is adding or removing an employee on our team. Not everybody's wired for that. But when you bring all of that together and you vet that out, which is a really hard thing to do, then you start seeing success. We really bought into hire good people and the rest will follow. It's more than that. You actually need to hire good people that apply in this scenario, and then the rest will follow.
Wow, it's been a great conversation so far. Make sure you join the HR Impact community, where we gather a community of HR leaders just like you. This is a space where top people leaders share actionable insights and practical playbooks. Sign up today as a member for the community. Get updates on the latest HR resources and exclusive event invites. You can join the community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And now back to the show. Let's dig into that a little bit and talk about what are the success factors that lend itself well to a startup environment. So you talked about hiring slow and firing fast, and not everybody's cut out for the startup life. When you look at, when you're doing a loss review of everyone that might've had to exit the organization, what are the common themes that came up that led to failing?
The most obvious one to me, and it's going to sound a little messed up, but like, you need to have that raw passion. Like, you can be great at what you do. You can really understand the space, but if you don't have that raw passion where like you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and be thinking about a problem that we have at this stage of a business, again, high growth startup, you're not going to get there. Like, you need to really be feeling everything that you do. And you can't, some people can learn that, but it's cooked into that. And not everybody, the hard part is hiring in HR tech. They're not coming from HR tech. So they may have that passion, but does it apply in this industry or not? Or do they have that passion that's never been tapped into and you're just ready to unlock it? And those are actually the best hires. The ones that are like, I'm going to kick and scream and claw my way to the top at all costs. And they learn the stuff later. Like, they learn the space. They learn everything else driven by that raw passion. It's a really hard thing to interview for. Everybody's passionate in an interview. They're going to tell you they love it. They're going to want to do it. But are they putting in the extra hours, or are they letting inspiration hit them at any moment of the day? That's tough. Honestly, with the post-COVID workforce, like, people want to rightfully live their lives outside of work. And it's startups, often it's the long hours and the long days that make the difference.
A lot of what you talked about has to do with problem obsession. In order to be successful in the startup world, whatever niche you're in, you need to be obsessed with the problem that your product is solving.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, when you're trying to validate a candidate on the level or degree of problem obsession that they have, what are some of the things that you've done in the interview process that helped identify somebody that's going to work out and somebody that might not be as successful?
Yeah. And not everyone's going to enjoy this, but like, part of it is to see, anybody can put up a solid game for a call or two. There's got to be a little bit of interview fatigue where like, when did this start falling apart? And like, when can you really see through kind of the veil that they've put up? Because they're on top of their game. They're there to sell you. How do you break them down so that you can start seeing things? And part of them is giving them some homework to say like, you know, how would you approach this? There's no wrong answer. Like, the answer you come up with will actually not be the right answer, but I want to know how you're thinking about it. And again, I don't want to abuse people's time or ask too much of them, but when you're hiring for leadership roles in this space, like, you need to put them to the test, and that's wear them down and put them to work. And when they come out the other side saying, I really enjoyed this and I thought of some really cool stuff. And you can see when they're explaining the plan to you, there's a difference between this and they're like, oh, and then I found this thing. And like, I'm really excited about this one. That's when you start knowing like you got the right person.
That makes sense. I'm looking at it from the candidate perspective and what you're describing, and I'm a former recruiter.
And you hate it.
What you're describing is like a hellscape of a recruiter experience perspective. So you're going to lose a lot of candidates that just don't have the time for that. And there could be some impact on your brand in the marketplace. So what are the things that you're doing to guard yourself or insulate yourself from those sort of things happening?
You don't want to put somebody through an experience that they're not ready for. So I think the easiest way to minimize that is to tell them up front, this is our process, right? And this is where we're going to go. And each stage, I'm going to pass you along. So like some people may self-select out. Like I've had people, hey, like I have other job offers. Like I need to know in a week and a half. And I'm like, we cannot do it in a week and a half. Just like hiring slow does not happen in a week and a half. So you need to be transparent and upfront about that. You need to openly communicate with people about what's going on. And the ones, I agree with you that, you may filter out, like you may filter out some really solid candidates, but ultimately like you got to believe in some of the evidence of the process that you've put together and the results that you've seen in other cases. And as long as you're transparent and they know what they're getting into and you're respectful of their time, you're not like, I'm not talking long interviews for the sake of long interviews. I'm just talking about a long process for the sake of getting to the heart of things. I think the right people will respect that and just treat them like humans every step of the way.
Your point about transparency is fair, and I think it's necessary. I've been on the other side of it where I've been a recruiter and sometimes even a candidate where you're going in thinking that this is the last step and then three more steps get thrown in front of you and you're like, what the hell is going on? Great insights, and I appreciate your perspective and sharing your philosophy on why hiring slow is the better way to go, especially if you're in a high growth startup, to make sure you're maximizing each hire. So if people want to continue the conversation with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Check us out at erinapp.com, erinapp.com, or find me on LinkedIn.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Mike, and helping us bust a myth. Stay tuned for more.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.